Joining us now, he is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. We're excited to have on Dan Bickley on Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Dan, thank you very much for a few
minutes.
How are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
We're doing terrific. Hey, Dan, can I just ask you to catch me up on what's happened in the last 72 hours? Because at one side I'm seeing, oh yeah, the Coyotes feel like they're going to buy new property and build this land. And then the mayor of Scottsdale says, yeah, what are you talking about? We haven't heard this proposal at all and we're not interested. Where are we today as of 11:30 Mountain Time?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I think is the right way to answer that. But to answer it, I'll just have to give you a little backstory here. Going into this whole process, there is a piece of land that is going to auction at the end of June. The Coyotes are going to bid for it, but it is also about the primest acreage you're going to find in Arizona. It's kind of land near the McDowell Mountains. There's not a lot of this left. So this is not typical in situations like this because there are many, many ruthless, very savvy developers in Arizona. Housing is sort of our number one industry. So this land is very, very, very valuable, and it's got the attention of a lot of people. And that has to be said as a backdrop because even though the Coyotes claim and believe that most of this plot of land has already been zoned for their purposes for an arena, there are many zoning issues that can arise, especially if there are people looking to dissent, if there are people politically motivated to dissent. So I think what we saw from the mayor of Scottsdale yesterday was some of the latter, where the mayor in very, very strong terms basically said the Coyotes are not welcome in Scottsdale. And this whole terrible journey that the Coyotes have been on for the better part of my entire life in Arizona occurred way back in the day when they won a referendum for an arena in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the city didn't trust the developer, said, prove it to us that you've got the money, and they headed out to Westgate on the west side, and it has been a picture of dysfunction ever since. So I think what you're seeing now is probably the beginning of some of those dissenting voices that may or may not derail the project, and not in terms of the Coyotes' ability to buy the land, but in terms of creating enough delays. If they can create obstacles, the NHL is about out of patience with this hockey team, as you guys well know, and so the clock is their biggest foe at the moment. People I talked to at the end of last week fully anticipated this sort of stuff to happen. And it might actually force the sale of our hockey team to your community. So that's basically where we're at. Just, you know, the political shenanigans have begun around this piece of land that's going up for auction. That's basically what's happened here.
So, Dan, as we've seen other franchises go through this in sports across the country, like in Sacramento, for instance, when the Kings were going through an ownership change and trying to get a building built, and, you know, I'm sure you remember all of that, the vibe in the community was desperate to keep the franchise, right? And that ultimately prevailed. I mean, he got Kevin Johnson elected mayor, and they eventually kept the Kings. So I hope this makes sense. But where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes, or is it indifference? Or where's the community?
The answer is I don't know what you would scale it at. There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution, just want to know, is there going to be a future for this hockey team in Arizona, or is it going to be, you know, one thing after another after another? Like I said, you would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value intrinsically and in terms of identity purposes, I don't know if that's any longer the case. I mean, the Valley where we live now, we host NASCAR championships. We host Super Bowls. We just hosted a Final Four We've got a WNBA franchise. We've got everything here. So absorbing the loss of a major professional sports, I don't think it's going to hit this market the way it once might have. And along those lines, I just don't think this ownership group at the Coyotes, and because of the lack of success that the Coyotes have had over the years, you know, they don't have the political clout or the machinery, the juice to kind of get this done behind closed doors. And also, you know, the Coyotes have made one extended playoff run in 25 years or in 20 plus years. And that's not enough. If you're going to sell the sport of hockey to your community, you've got to give them playoff hockey. There's nothing like playoff hockey. The game is maybe 25 to 30% better than what it is during the regular season. And it's where people become addicted for life. And we haven't had any success. We've had nothing but dysfunction. The league and the commissioner has been very, very loyal to us at a price. People in Canada think he's insane for sticking with this market, but there's also a lot of there's a lot of falsehoods that fly around. If you give Arizonans a good hockey product and some stability, they will support a hockey team. I've seen it myself. There was a time when this team was back at the end of the late 1990s when they had Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk and other stars. They were a big deal in this town. And so it really is incumbent on the hockey team to give something of value back to the community.
Because we haven't covered a lot of hockey locally, how do hockey teams win? You know, and what I mean is comparing that to like a baseball team where you really, you know, you got to spend money to win. Basketball, obviously what Matt Ishbia is trying to do with the Suns is you invest a lot in the roster. Do you rebuild in hockey? Do you just spend money to get stars like the Yankees do? Like, how do you build a winning program?
It's a really, really good question. You can circumvent the process with a really good goaltender. A goaltender can it's the second most important position in sports behind NFL quarterback. They can change your fortunes overnight if you get a really, really good one. And then there's a lot of hockey players. You can build the guts of a hockey team without a lot of money, and you can build a good one. There's a lot of good core competent hockey players, but what you find out is when you get near that Stanley Cup, you're dealing with hockey teams that can roll four great lines out at you in succession. That's when you need the requisite high end talent. Is if you're going to expect to get through the playoffs and actually lift that trophy, you really can't have any weaknesses on any line. So you can go in stages. You can circle. You can get good really quickly. I think we've seen expansion teams like Las Vegas come firing out of the gates. But those are some of the elements you need.
So this is just a sports radio nerd question for you. But when you're planning out your show, how do you divide your time? What's the kind of pecking order in Phoenix? Where do you spend most of your time, and you know, how do you delineate?
That's a very easy question to answer. Basically, right at the moment, we are now we hover over three major professional sports franchises for the longest time. It's really been the Suns. The Suns are our first major professional franchise. They've been here the longest. They actually have a generational link in the Valley, so they're always number one when they're good. Professional football and the Cardinals are always right there behind them, and now we've got a baseball team that made a very surprising and a very satisfying run to the World Series last year. So they're number three. So basically our world revolves around those three teams, and then whatever major events seem to kind of break through and command mass interest.
Okay, well, let me ask you about the Suns since you brought them up, and obviously we're an NBA town here in Salt Lake City. What's the thought? What's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? I mean, is this going to be a first-round elimination? Is there a hope that what we've seen in the last couple of weeks when they've been dealing with this insanely difficult schedule and they're, what, 4-2 to start these final 10 games?
Do they
make the run?
Your guess is as good as ours when it comes to this basketball team. We're 78 games into the regular season. Nobody really knows what their identity is, what they're made of, if you can count on them. I don't know. There's something off with this basketball team that has led them. They're not connected in ways that great teams always tend to be. So they've been described as joyless on the court. They don't have a vocal leader, and they do not have a real traditional point guard. And as a basketball town, Salt Lake City knows better than anybody via John Stockton what it means to have a point guard. A point guard feeds everybody else. A point guard creates happiness because of their generosity. A point guard kind of connects everybody on the floor. I one of the lessons I think the Suns learned the hard way is you really can't shortchange that element of it all. And yet they've got enough firepower where they've had nights when they've looked really, really dangerous. So I wish I had an answer for you. This basketball team has confounded all of us. And it's funny because it's fan appreciation night in Phoenix tonight. And the joke is, well, the fans do not appreciate being teased for 78 regular season games prior to this. So it's one of those roller coaster rides that, as has been said, you got to keep your hands inside the ride. Might get a little out of control.
Dan, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah,
thank you very, very much. And yeah, I hope you don't mind if we bug you as this story kind of unfolds.
You got it, fellas. All the best to you.
Hey, appreciate you. Thanks, Dan.
Radio guys.
Dan Bickley.